17. I've enjoyed reading through the book of Acts again and just making some notations and some things that God has brought to my remembrance and even shown me that I didn't see when I read through it previously. God has a way of doing that, doesn't he? He sure does. And I'm glad that God's word is alive. Acts chapter 17. If you would stand and we'll read the first three verses, and then these verses will be kind of introductory. It'll kind of talk a little bit about what you should get when you come to church, and then we'll talk about how you can get it. All right? Acts 17. Give you a little backdrop here. Paul is in his second missionary journey. He has answered what we know as the Macedonian call. He has traveled, he and his missionary team, through Philippi. And now he's getting ready to leave there, and we're going to pick up with a narrative as he heads toward some other areas. There's many areas that are mentioned in these missionary journeys. There's quite a few here in chapter number 17. There's three in particular that we'll look at just as a broad view of the chapter, because I find it very interesting at the way that each one of these territories responded to the preaching. I think that it's still around today. Everybody responds some way to preaching. And only you can answer that for you. I can't answer that for you. Only you can. I can answer that for me. I will say this. When you're going to be taught and you're going to be preached to, you need to prepare your heart. You don't just busy yourself or, and just rush to church and flop down, no prayer, no meditation, no consideration, no asking God to help you. You don't stay up late on Saturday night, 1, 2 o'clock, come dragging into church with your mind all tired, and then say, well, you know what, I'm not getting a whole lot out of the services. No, you're not. Sure. And it's because you haven't taken the time to prepare to receive God's word. And so I just want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you at the same time. Prepare to receive God's word. Give reverence and respect to the preaching and the teaching of God's word. If you will, God will honor it, and he will certainly feed your soul. If you will not, well, then you will not receive much, but you will be held accountable for even that you didn't receive because your heart was not in a condition to receive it. And that's a sobering thing. It certainly is. Now, some folks think they know more than the preacher and the teacher, and so they shut them off. And I hope you are not that way. We're going to find a group of people here who had a right spirit to preaching and teaching. And I pray that would be our spirit. Let's read these first three verses. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. Now, there's a place that we're familiar with. They didn't pass through these other places because those people there didn't count. It was just Paul's way. This was his way to go to the bigger cities and then to branch out from there. So he passed through the smaller areas, and they came to Thessalonica. Look at verse number 1 again, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reason with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help me to relay that you've laid upon my heart to these people. And God, give us something from your word that would comfort our hearts, that would challenge our hearts, and that would change our hearts to be more like you. God, that's our desire. It's my desire. I pray that you would continue that conforming process in every heart here this evening. Help us to be attentive and to receive your word as the Berean believers with all readiness of mind. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, what I'd like for you to do is let's look at these three areas in chapter 17. There's three areas. There's Thessalonica, which we're very familiar with. Very familiar with Thessalonica. And you'll find that in verse number 1. They came to Thessalonica. Now, how did the Thessalonians receive the word, the people there in Thessalonica? Well, the Bible says in verse number 5, well, verse number 4 says some of them believed. Some of them believed. So Paul went and he preached, and we'll see how that played out, okay? How he took the word of God and how he relayed it to the people. It's very important. It's very important. This is part of preaching and teaching. You need a preaching and a teaching ministry. Paul followed that model, and we'll look at that just a little later. But when he went into those synagogues, when he went in among the Jews, the scripture says in verse number 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not. So sometimes when the gospel is preached, some will believe, but there's going to always be those that reject. Okay? There's just people who reject the gospel. And you say, well, that's going to cause me to be discouraged, or I'm going to quit giving it. Don't quit giving it because people don't receive it, because there are always going to be those that believe, and then there'll be those who believe not. You don't get to pick and choose who. It's not our place. It's our place just to give it, right? We're seed sowers. Just give the word. I can't change people's hearts, but I can sure sow the seed of the gospel and give them the choice that is to be made. So in Thessalonica, the Bible says in verse number 4, some received, but now some, well, they resisted. Look what they did in verse number 5. Not only did they not believe, but they were moved with envy, and they took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort. I mean, these people, they went to the house of Jason, and I'm not going to go into this, but they went where Paul and Silas were staying, and I mean, these were violent people. They resisted, and they fought, and they were after the preacher. And so the people of the area, they said, you know what, you probably should leave. And the Bible says in verse number 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night. And here's the second place they went to. So they went into Thessalonica, but then they went into Berea. And so they went into this area. And we'll find out how the people in Berea, and this is where we'll kind of settle in just a moment. But it says that the people in Berea, when they, in verse number 10, when they got thither, went into a synagogue of the Jews. So they just kept right on preaching. So, well, you know, they had to leave town because of violence. I mean, these people are going to do violent to them. So they probably quit, didn't they, preacher? No. The Bible says they just went to the next town, and they went to the synagogue and started all over again. Amen? You don't quit. God can't use quitters. You don't quit because things are not going your way or not going the way you think they're going to go. You just keep on serving God. God will keep opening doors. And so the scripture says they left Thessalonica. They got into Berea. They went right in the synagogue. And we'll pick up with this and go a little bit in detail with what it says in verse number 11. It says, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica. Now, what do you mean? Well, you know, they didn't judge before they heard. They thought it through. They gave it a chance. And here's what the scripture says. It says, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I mean, they just didn't write it off and say, well, that's just what the preacher believes. That's just what the Baptists preach. No, they received the Bible as the word of God, and the scripture says that they searched the scriptures. And they wanted to find out, is this so? They didn't just develop a quick, you know, at the snap of a finger, well, that's not so. I've never heard nothing like that before. That's just not so. No, they thought it through. They searched the scriptures to see if those things were so or not. And I think sometimes we make too quick of a decision when we hear something. We say, well, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Well, now, wait a minute. What did God say? There's penalties for not doing what God said to do. There's consequences for not being obedient to the word of God. Well, I've always done it this way. That preacher I used to listen to, he preached it this way. Well, what saith the scriptures? What's the Bible say? We need to do it the Bible way. Amen. And so the scripture says in verse number 11 that they were more noble in that, in other words, this is why they were more noble, that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. They were eager. And as I said, we'll get back to that. So then when they left there, down in verse number 15, they conducted Paul, brought him into Athens. So here's the third town. So they start out in Thessalonica, okay? And these people resisted the word. Now some believe, but they resisted. I mean, they run them out of town. And then they went into Berea. They received the word. And I'm going to tell you, great things happen for them. Great things happen for us when we receive the word too. But now in Athens, notice what the scripture says that these folks did. It says, when they got into Athens, that the people there, look at verse number 18, certain philosophers of the Epicureans, it says they were of the Stoics, they encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? They didn't just resist it, they certainly didn't receive it. They were ridiculing the word of God, the man of God. They were ridiculing, like that God wasn't going to require it. I'm going to tell you something, brethren. God does require it. God requires it. So, well, I don't agree with the preacher. Well, you might ought to pray for the preacher. I'm not talking about me only. Just because you don't see eye to eye with every preacher, that doesn't mean you can run him in the ground. And listen, you better be careful. We all need to be careful what we say about God's servants. And so these people ridiculed. And the scripture, look at verse number 32. They called him a babbler. And then Paul said, you know, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. I mean, they just mocked the preacher and mocked the message. They ridiculed. Well, I got to tell you, there's still folks ridiculing the word of God, the man of God, the people of God, the house of God. But it's not working out well for them. They're going to stand before God one day and give an account of those things. So here's three areas, and I find it interesting that in each one of these areas that there was a different response. When they went into Thessalonica, some believed, but you know what? Most resisted, and they run the preacher out of town. They had to, the men had to tell Paul and Silas, hey, it'd be safe for you to leave. These people are violent. They went to Berea, and they received the word. And then when they left Berea, they went to Athens, and they ridiculed the word. So people have different responses to preaching. What's your response? You know, we all get to choose what our response to preaching and teaching is. What's your response? Let's see what those that received. I think this is the best response that any of us can have to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Before I get into it, I want you to go back into chapter number 17 and verses 2, and we'll just read 2 and 3. And look at some of these words here, and I've looked them up because I found it very interesting that the Apostle Paul approached preaching and teaching this way. He said in verse number 2, as Paul, as his manner was, he went into them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. I looked that word up, and this is what it means, that word reason. I got my concordance out, and I looked it up, and it means to have dialogue, question and answering. You know, sometimes in Sunday school, that's good to do. It's good just to have question and answering. And Paul, he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. He let them ask questions. Maybe he asked them questions. But he didn't reason with them out of... Now watch carefully what the scripture says now. This is where a lot of people go astray. He didn't reason with them out of what he thought or what they thought. Notice what the scripture says. Look at it again in verse number 2. It says he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So when you get into question and answers or dialogue, you have to see what the scripture says, not what someone's opinion or position on something. What saith the scripture? Say, well, you know, people can have different positions on certain scripture, preacher. Sure, they can. They can. But there's just very few things in the scripture that really is not just, you know, salvation's by grace through faith. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Not a whole lot to, I mean, you know, we can talk all day long about it, but it's not going to change. It's by grace through faith. Hell are for those who reject the plan of salvation. It's not going to change. Heaven is for those who receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's not going to change. Jesus was born of a virgin. You can look up every Greek word you want about maiden and this and that. Jesus was born of a virgin. Amen. That's not going to change. Amen. It takes the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from sin. That's not, listen, we can discuss it and discuss it, but see, there's just a lot of things, it's not going to change. And so what we need to do is teach it. But now there are some things, it's okay to reason. Now, you have to remember what and who Paul was dealing with here. He was dealing with Jews. He had the Old Testament scriptures, and he was taking these scriptures and he was showing them from the scriptures, hey, this Messiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, this is Jesus Christ. Psalm 22, this is Jesus Christ. He was reasoning with them from the scriptures. All right? Now look what the scripture goes on to say in verse 3. Not only was he reasoning, I like that word, but this Bible says this, opening. That word means lay aside. It means to lay aside and to show how scriptures harmonize. Opening. He opened up the scripture to them. You see, in the Old Testament, there's a lot of things that are concealed. And Paul, being saved in the grace of God and receiving New Testament revelation, he was able to show them by laying aside those concealed things how they were revealed in Christ. And he showed them, and if you'll read this, you'll see what he showed them, that Christ must needs have suffered in verse 3 and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. He's the Messiah. He was preaching that to them. Amen. And so he was, what was he doing? He was giving proof text. He was saying, listen, this is not just something I have taken on. This is not some belief I have. This is what the Word of God says. Amen. And that's the way preaching ought to be. There ought to be some reasoning in our teaching and preaching. There ought to be some opening. Look at this next word in verse number 3, alleging. Again, if you go home and look that word up, I have, and I hope you will. It means scripture interpreting scripture. It's just alleging. You're letting scripture interpret scripture. You're letting the scripture do the interpreting and not your position or your thoughts. The scripture will, if you read scripture long enough, scripture will interpret scripture. If we'll let it. Amen. And that's what he was doing. He was showing them, this is what the scripture says. He was opening and alleging. And then he used this word in verse number 3, whom I preach. That word means to proclaim or to urge. To preach. To urge. To herald. With some urgency. From time to time, there needs to be that too. And so Paul went in, he was preaching, he was teaching, he was urging these people, and some believed, some didn't. They said, we don't like that stuff. Amen. You get out of town. That's not what we're used to around here. And, well, they ran him off, they ran him to Berea. What happened in Berea? Well, look, if you would, in verse number 11. It says, when he went into Berea, in verse 10, he went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, this was always Paul's manner. He went into the synagogue of the Jews, and these there were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word. Now, what does that mean? Receive the word. This is just very interesting. So, well, preacher, I received the word. Well, so there's two ways to receive the word. And I'm going to show you from the scripture, if you'll hold your place here, we'll come back to this, but go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. There's two words in our New Testament for receive. One of them's with the ear, and one of them's with the heart. Some people just receive it. It's not on. Now it is. Thank you, Brother Jonathan. Some people just receive the word with their ears. Look at verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So while he was on that same trip, he went into Thessalonica. Some people believed, and so he wrote him a letter back. No doubt the church had grown since then. He said, you know, I'm glad that some of you received the word when I was there. Now, those in Berea, they received it too. What does it mean to receive the word? So, well, it just means to take it in. Oh, it means much more than that. Let's see what this says. Look at it again. What if it just said this? For this cause, also thank God, we thank God without ceasing, because when you heard the word and took it in, which you heard of us, you heard the word which you took in, not as the word of a man. That's not what it's saying at all. It's saying this, when you heard the word of God, when you heard us preaching, look at it in verse number 13, when you received, when you heard it with your ears, the word of God, when you heard us preaching the word of God, you embraced it. That's what that second word, received. You embraced it. You took it as your own. You took it into your heart because you didn't receive it as the word of men. You did it as it is in truth, the very word of God. You realized what you were hearing was different. And that's what I want to spend a little time talking to you about. I think sometimes we forget what this book is. This is God's word. We hear it so often. If you've been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, you just hear, this is God's word. You read it, you hear it preached, you heard it taught. And if you're not careful, you'll think, well, I can just kind of pick and choose. I can take it or leave it. I can do what I wish with it. Oh, it's much more hallowed than that. The God who made everything wrote this book. And when God speaks, if we really believe, if we could just get it down in our heart that this really is the word of God, we'd be sitting up on the edge of our seats to hear it. Like those people in Berea. They received it with all readiness of mind. You know what that means? It means they were chomping at the bits. They were eager. You mean God has spoken? God said something? And you're going to tell us what God said? Please, go on, tell us, what did God say? Right? But a lot of folks, listen, if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we just kind of can see it and somebody say, hey, open your Bible and we're going to read the Word of God and see what God says. Our minds will wonder, we'll be thinking about, I wonder if I turned that stove off. I wonder if you know, I'm going to have to take on this project tomorrow at work. Our minds can be in 100 different places when somebody is standing reading or teaching or preaching the Word of God. It's amazing, isn't it? I don't know that there's any more sign of depravity in all of mankind than that. That the Word of God is being read and we're thinking, I wonder if this is going to get over by 8 o'clock. Think about it. We're all guilty of it. This is the Word of God. Amen. And yet because we've heard it and we've sat under it and we've read it, we just treat it like it really is the Word of a man. And I'm just sure that if we started right here with Brother Devin and went all the way around on this side and all the way across, all the way and ended up right here with Miss Jenny, right on up here to you, Pastor, that we could go back and say, all right, now let's see now. Look at verse 13 again. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. And so we could ask everyone, now, do you believe that the King James Bible that the pastor's reading from tonight and speaking from tonight is the word of God or word of men? Oh, no, it's the word of God. I'm just sure of it. It's the word of God. Yet if we're not careful, we'll treat it as it is the word of men. Just treat it like, well, you know, I've heard it 100 times. So what? That's very disrespectful to God's word. And I pray that God would help us. God, help us not to be that way. God, help us to approach it. Notice what he said here. He said this, if you approach it in verse number 13 again of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, it is able to effectually work, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
it can work in you with such a power when you receive it right. When you receive it right now. Not if your mind's wandering and if you haven't said, God, whatever you say to me tonight, I'll do. God, I need something from heaven. God, I need something from your word. My mind is alert. Let's go back to Acts again, and we're going to turn to a couple of other scriptures. Go back to Acts 17, and let's just continue that thought of those people there in Berea. Okay, those people in Berea, I mean, these people were, they were hungry. They were thirsting for something. And it's missing in our society today. Listen, you say, well, you know, we need some people up that's going to do cartwheels when they preach. Can I show you the way that Jonathan Edwards preached the message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? Like this. With his back to the congregation, and he just read. He read his sermon that he had written out. He just read it. And the people were so under conviction, they were falling out of their seats. They were grabbing onto the back of their chairs. They were crying out to God for mercy. See, those are a people. Look at the people of Berea again. Look at it. Those were a people that received, they received the word of God. Look at this next phrase, with all readiness of mind. They had not already formed an opinion. They had not already made up their mind. Their minds were ready to take something in from God. Their minds were, that word ready means eager. It means alert. It means in tune. What is God saying? What is God going to say to me? I want to know what God's going to say. We've lost that. We've lost it. That ought to be, whether you're receiving preaching or teaching or even reading it in your devotional, reading at home, it ought to melt our hearts. We've lost something. We've become familiar with the very word of God. That's a dangerous thing, isn't it? We've become familiar with something that should never be familiar. We've taken for granted something that should never be taken for granted. He said, these people, when they received the word, they received it with all readiness of mind. And then the next thing they did is they searched the scriptures daily. You know, I mean, we're not talking about people who just got a little fired up and went home and said, you know what, I'm just going to see. You know, he left a parchment. He left a little copy of something. We're just going to see here, you know, about this. No, the Bible says they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. I think there's a lot that needs to be learned right here. Don't just take what the preacher says. Go home and find out for yourself if what the preacher said was so. Amen. Follow along in the Bible. Amen. Amen. Go home. Read it. Study it. Amen. Search the scriptures. It just amazes me how far we've come from there's people don't even open their Bible during teaching and preaching. They don't follow along. I know all that. See, that's the problem. We know too much for an ignorant people. We just think we know it all. And brethren, there's a lot more of the Bible that we don't know than we do know. So, well, you don't know how much I know. Don't need to know. I don't need to know how much you know in order to make that statement. There's a whole lot more you don't know than you do know. And that goes for me, that goes for anyone. So, well, he's a Bible scholar. Oh, so-and-so's a Bible scholar. Really? Who told him that? I don't think I've ever met one of them, they're Bible scholars. We're Bible students. We're Bible students. You get to the place where you feel like you're a Bible scholar, you've messed up. You've got in the wrong category. So, What does the Bible say? I'm going to give you three words that I hope will help you about receiving the Word of God. There's three words, and they're right here in the Bible. Okay? Three words. Number one, I like this word right here, so we'll stick with it first, okay? They receive the Word with all, I like that word, readiness. Are you ready to receive the Word? When you come to sit in your Sunday school class preaching, when you sit down at your desk or wherever you have your private or personal devotions, are you ready to receive the Word? Are you eager? Or are you just checking a box? I'm not trying to, listen, throw guilt trips, just trying to help. If we are going to receive God's Word the way that it should be received, then we're going to have to really be honest with ourselves and really ask ourselves some hard questions. Do I receive the Word of God eagerly? Am I alert? Am I going to embrace? Do I want to know what God says so I can do what God said? That's the word readiness. That's the first thing, okay? Now, go if you would to James, okay? James chapter number 1. And there's another way that the Bible says we are to receive the Word of God. James chapter 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. James chapter 1 and verse number 21. James said, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." And don't let the word superfluity, it just means an overflow or an overabundance, okay? So he said, "Don't lay aside these things." And here's our word now, and receive, not in the ear. This is not the ear word. It's the heart word. Remember we said that the word receive in the scripture is it's basically, and I'm breaking it down, okay? It's greater in its definition than this, but I'm breaking it down just to two words. Receive, not just in your ear, but in your heart. Receive it with your heart, okay? And he said this, and receive how? With meekness. So see, those in Berea received it with readiness. They were eager, right? James said, but when you receive the Word of God, receive it with meekness. Now, what does that mean? The word meek, it really could be a good spirit, a right spirit, or a teachable spirit. So when you receive the Word of God, don't receive it like, well, I already know that, or I'm a Bible scholar, or I just have you to know that I've been saved and just fill in the years, you know. No, receive it with a teachable spirit. Receive it with a humble spirit to where, you know what? If I learn just one thing from God's Word, that's good enough. Thank God for the nugget. Amen. Thank God for the nugget. And so that meekness, but if we come to the Bible with pride, if we come to the Bible with arrogancy or with the wrong spirit, well, then we're not going to get what God wants to give us from it. And so I'm talking to you about receiving the Word. You say, well, I hear the Word. I read the Word. I'm not talking to you about hearing or receive or reading. I'm talking to you about receiving. How are we to take it in? We're to take it in with readiness, Acts says. They did in Berea with an eagerness, right? They were eager. They embraced it. They were thankful for it. They were hungry for it. And then they did with a meekness. They had a teachable spirit. Now what James said? If we'll follow this, God will help us. You see, I was talking with someone today, and we were talking about people believing all sorts of lies. You know, the media is just full of lies. You know, it's just getting to where that you just about have to run everything through the truth machine. If you'll fill your mind, and if I'll fill my mind and heart with this book, it will not... Just like that, error is exposed. Just like that. Because I want to get truth in me. Truth exposes error. Light exposes darkness. Amen. You get enough truth in you, and someone comes up talking this baloney, this lie, immediately, you'll just know, nah, that's not so. That's not so. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that don't have the truth in them. And they're not getting the truth in them, and so they're falling for the lies. They're following the lies. Get truth in you. Receive it. How? With readiness. With readiness. With eagerness. Be eager. And that's going to take some work to do that, brethren. It is. You're going to have to get plenty of rest before you come to church. You say, well, it's Wednesday night, preacher. I worked all day. Well, no, you don't work on Saturday night, do you? You work on Sunday between services? Make sure your mind's alert. Pray and ask God, God, help me. You say, well, preacher, you don't have anything on your mind. It's easy for you. I know. Hey, we all struggle with this. We need God to help us. I just want you to be blessed, that's all. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm just trying to help you. Hey, when a preacher stands up here, whether it's me or one of our assistants or one of our guests, or you go somewhere else to hear Bible preaching, listen, when you sit down at your desk or your bedside, wherever you have your scripture reading, receive God's word with readiness, eagerness, right? And then the Bible says here with what? With meekness. Have a teachable spirit. God, teach me something from your word. I'm not as good a Christian as I think I am. God, I need some truth from your word to help me to be a better Christian. See, if I approach the word of God like, well, you know what? I'm a better Christian than this one and this one and this one and this one. I'm not going to get much from God's word. That's a poor way to approach God's word. That's not approaching it with meekness. With meekness is, God, I need your help. I'm not as spiritual as I think I am. God, you know that I'm not spiritual. Help me. I want to be. I want to be a better Christian. And your truth is going to help me to be a better Christian. And so it is with meekness that I approach your word. Amen. And then we'll go back to that passage in 1 Thessalonians, okay, chapter 2, for the third way. The third way. 1 Thessalonians 2. We'll read that verse again in verse 13. This will be the final thought, okay? So, it's not just enough to hear the word or read the word, right? It's just not. I mean, thank God for it, but the way we take it in, it just means so much. And we have to condition our hearts, and we have to get our mind in a mindset to take in the truth so that we can hone in. And it's difficult. There's a lot going on in our lives. There's a lot going on in this crazy mixed up world that'll try to take our minds off the times when we sit to hear or sit to read and take in God's word. And it's the devil's way of trying to snatch the truth and the seed from our hearts, so that we cannot have that seed to bring forth fruit. So he said, number one, receive it with readiness. Be eager. You have to prepare for that now. It's going to take some prayer. Then number two, be meek. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. God, I need your truth. I need your word to help me to be a better Christian. I need your word to grow me. And then thirdly, receive it this way. Believingly. So we're to receive it with readiness or eagerly. We're to receive it with a teachable spirit or meekly, and then with belief. He said in verse number 13, for this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. You believed it, right? You believed it. You didn't say, well, I don't know about that now. You believed it. If God said it, brethren, I believe it. How about you? I didn't say if the preacher said it now. Now, if the preacher said what God said, I believe it. So, well, it really doesn't matter that much, does it? I don't know. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, the Bible is always right. It's always right. Look, Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 4. Just for a moment, chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, we have a thought on the importance of how you receive the word. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, look in verse number 2. Hebrews 4, verse number 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. So we had two groups of people. But notice what it says here. But the word preached did not profit them. You know why? Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe it. So you can doubt it and question it and try to change it and skirt around it and say, well, you know what? It's not going to help you. It's not. And I want it to help you. And we need it to help us. God's word is what makes us good Christians. Okay? Not church attendance. Now, I thank God for church attendance. I'm glad you're here. And I realize some folks came straight on from work. Some folks has not even eaten dinner yet. If it makes you feel any better, I had a half of a banana and peanut butter sandwich. That's more than I had, preacher. I didn't have anything. Well, and God knows that, okay? And I understand. I understand all of these things. Just trying to help us to receive the Word of God in a way that's going to benefit us. All right? Let's stand to our feet. So, well, sometimes it doesn't profit me. Well, I believe if you'll just listen to the Word of God with the right spirit, it'll be like that young man I told about who went down to get the water, right, in the old colander, the old sifter. He didn't hold the water. The water went through. He kept coming back. He kept coming back, and he said, his dad said, there's no water in there. But he said, yeah, but look at the sifter. It's clean. And so you might not realize what God's Word is doing as you take it in. If you receive it with the right spirit, God's doing a work in your life, and it'll start coming out. It will. Let's bow our heads together.